Okay, as we mentioned, it's Hope Rising is the name of the series. Pastor Chris began it last week. When he is back with us next weekend, he'll continue on with this series. We're going to talk about it a little bit today, and you remember last week, he spent some time over at this object, which referred to as a hope chest. Now, I had some people actually after the weekend, last weekend, said that looks a little bit more like it came out of Pirates of the Caribbean. So I'm not so sure that I remember a hope chest, for instance, that my wife had in her apartment when I first met her. And she had gotten that chest when she was a teenager. And as she'd get gifts given to her about the day that she'd get married, and put things in there. And that chest was full of items. And she was 28 when I met her. And I asked her, I said, "Is that a hope chest?" She said, "Yes. That's what my folks called it when they gave it to me." But she says, "After I had it a few years, the last couple of years, I've started referring to it as my despair barrel." And some of you in this room, your hopes are turning to despair. That's what this series is addressing. You say, "I don't know that my hopes will ever rise." And there's been things maybe happen in your life that you feel have just destroyed your hopes. And Pastor Chris is going to be dealing with those in the next few weeks. But we're going to talk today about something you don't even have to try to do. You just join the current in life. And there can be things that cause you to keep your hopes weighted down and never fully realized. I asked for this weekend for them to give me a symbol of the topic we're trying to address in this message. And here it is. Okay? This is a junior dragster. For those of you who can't read the caption there, this is called the Mad Monkey. If the rain stops, I've asked for first dibs to test this sucker out in the parking lot afterwards, okay? I am told the wheelbase on this is about 150 inches. It weighs a little over 225 pounds, and in a 1/8 of a mile race, it will reach a top speed of 85 miles an hour. And it's up here to resemble the word fast, and that's the first blank that goes in your notes if you've got your notes out today. Life today is just increasingly fast. And I don't have to convince you of that. Life moves fast, doesn't it? It just moves fast. Think of travel itself. Think of the fact that back not that many generations ago, even when this church was founded in 1846, somebody went from Columbus, Indiana, up to Kokomo and established this church, and he rode by horseback. 120 years ago, 10 cars existed in this country. 10 years later, 110 years ago, they tell us there were over 700 factories, shops, barns, buildings spread across the U.S., that were producing, trying to build cars because we wanted to go faster. In this day and age, I'm told last year we topped the 240 million mark of cars. I've talked to people this weekend that said, "Pastor, I remember when what we now call is 931, I remember when it was two lanes, and to get through Kokomo, you went up what we now call Apperson and Washington." And then they said, "That's not fast enough." So they built the four-lane US 31. And then they built a bypass around Kokomo. And we said, "That's not fast enough." So a few years ago, we built a bypass around the bypass. Right? We go faster and faster in our travel. Communication. When I was in college in the late 70s and my mom wanted to communicate with me, she'd write a letter, put it in the mail. A few days later, it would show up in my mailbox. 1981. There was a businessman that said, "I'm going to do better than that. I'll start a company that you can give me your letter, and if it absolutely, positively needs to get there overnight, it will." Called it FedEx, and we said, "Boy, that's better." Then after a few years, FedEx wasn't good enough. So they said, "What about a machine where you could just slide the letter in the machine, dial a few numbers over the phone line, and it would print out on the other end where the person could read it in a matter of seconds. He said, that's better, that's faster. He said, nah, that's still not good enough. So we came up with email. Sit at your computer, send that letter, depending on your download and upload speeds, they would read it on the other end. And it wasn't very long till we said, that's not fast enough. What if we put an app on our phone where you could text, and you could text each other? And what if we put instant messaging? And what if we put Snapchat? And what if we put WhatsApp? And what if we put FaceTime? And we communicate faster today than we ever have before. Food preparation used to take hours. I visited just a couple of years ago with one of the Amish ladies in this community, and she talked about getting up at 4:30 in the morning to begin food preparation to have breakfast ready for her family. But in our day, when a manna came out with that thing called the microwave, shoot, throw the hot pocket in there, click it for a minute, and you're on your way. Ray Kroc did one better back in the 50s, didn't he? He said, you don't even have to cook it. I'll cook it, put it in a bag, you can be on your way, and it became known as fast food. Even your taxes. It wasn't that many years ago. You pulled out a pencil and paper and started trying to calculate and figure your taxes. And then somebody said, well, let's create an adding machine where we can punch it in and can print it out on a little tape. And somebody said, that's not fast enough. Let's get a calculator. And somebody said, that's not fast enough to where I suspect if you did your taxes in the last season of time, and by the way, they're due if you haven't. But good news, you can go home and on a software program, put your taxes in, push send, and a few minutes later get something back saying your return's been accepted, and you're on your way. Life moves fast, and because it does, the idea of every one of those inventors was, boy, if we just save them time, they're going to have so much free time. They're going to be able to just slow down because they don't have to cook so long. They don't have to drive so many hours. They don't have to spend so much time communicating with each other, and on it went. But guess what? That's not our experience, is it? Because despite all these time-saving technologies I mentioned, life today is also increasingly full, isn't it? We don't move fast on a few things. We move fast on everything. Despite the fact that we communicate faster and travel faster and prepare food faster and everything else faster, we run out of time because we've got more things to do than ever before. The roads and the transportation's never been better. It ought to be fast enough, but if today's stat is true and today is typical, by the end of today, there'll be 112,000 speeding tickets written where we can't go fast enough. That's 41 million a year. Averages out to about one out of every five drivers in this year will get a speeding ticket. Feel free to shoot a quick glance right now at the person in your row that you think is going to be that person. Okay, I've got some folks just raising their hand saying, I got mine for this year. I will tell you this. I got one time taking my kids and their friends to youth group. Here's how sad it was. I lived a mile and a half from the church. And when the guy pulled me over, I was looking at our building and my kids got out and said, Dad, we'll just walk while he writes you the ticket. It's fast, isn't it? Technology and communication. Texting's wonderful. It's so much better. I'm someplace and I think I need to let Lisa know I'm going to be late, so I text my wife. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to have if you need to do it. You know what we've done with that? Today, 22.5 billion texts will be sent today, worldwide. Approximately one half of those will be sent in this country. We represent 4% of the world's population, and we send 50%, just a little under that, of the texts. We text all the time, everywhere. even as we drive in our fast cars on our great roads. We've got so many texts to send, we have to text as we go. Even when we only stop for a 30-minute sermon. Some of you already in this service have sent or read a text, right? If you're going to do 22 billion, you got to cram them in somewhere. Fast food was a great idea. You know what we're told? 1 out of 5 meals, on average, are eaten in a car. 1 out of 5. 1 out of 3 school-age kids, 1 out of 3, eat a fast food meal or food from a fast food place at least once a day. We even have created such a full life that we can't get it all done by doing one thing at a time. So we do 2 and 3 things, and we've got a term for it. We multitask. Man, I don't just have to do this. I can do this and this at the same time. I'm listening to you while I scan Facebook. I'm with you as I do this. We multitask, convincing ourselves doing 2 or 3 things at the same time. We can do all 3 equally well. We're a crew of deniers. And here's what's true. Last year when I made a trip on behalf of this church with a team to Uganda, there were 5 of us that went, spent a week and a half there. Most of the people in Uganda walked. Most of the time when we went any place, we had a car that took us some of the time. We would walk the streets and sometimes walk down country roads. And we stood out for 2 reasons. One was we were 5 white guys, 4 of us, my size or bigger, walking through Uganda, and we didn't exactly blend in. But here's the other thing that was true. We walked faster than they did. They were slow. They walked everywhere, but they walked slowly. And I asked our host, hey, why don't they pick up the pace? He said, we have a saying in Uganda. It applies to Africa. We say Americans have watches. Africans have time. Yeah, that's an ouch. You see, most of us are not tempted to become bad, but we're rather tempted to become increasingly busy. Our lives get fuller and faster. Faster and fuller, more and more, add on to add on. And you say, well, what difference does that make, Kevin? It's just the way the world is. What difference it makes is this. You will have some things, your hopes, that will never be fully realized until you slow down. There are some things God can never say to you in a way you'll hear them at the speed you're living life. You have to slow down to hear him. There are some things he's going to do in your heart and life that cannot be done when you live so full and so fast that there's no time for him. There are some things in your marriage. There are some things with your kids. There are some things with your friendship relationships. Some things with your sense of community that cannot be accomplished unless you slow down. When our kids were very little, we had very little money. And we would try to grab a day away or a weekend away, and we would often just say, let's find a hotel with a rate we can afford that has a pool. And man, if you found a hotel with a pool and the kids eat free in the restaurant, it was like we have found heaven, okay? And we would go to the hotel, usually get a room, one of the upper floors, and we'd be leaving the room to go down to the pool, and one of the kids would say, can we push the elevator button? I'd say, sure, and there would be a rush, a race. You think this thing's fast? You should have seen my kids going down a hotel hall to get to the elevator, and behind them, in a futile waste of my breath, I would be shouting, slow down! Slow down, you're going to hurt your sister. Slow down, you're going to hurt somebody. Slow down, you just knocked the cleaning lady over. Slow down. I would say to you, if God had, and I think he is in this time, if God was going to give a message to each of us, perhaps he'd say, slow down. Slow down. Swim upstream against the faster and fuller pace of life. Slow down. Charles Hummel wrote a paper called Tyranny of the Urgent, and he said this. He said, the danger that we face is that the urgent crowds the important out of our life. I wish I had time. You know, mom's getting older, and I know I need to spend time with her. I just don't have the time to do it. You know, the wife and I, we barely even crossed paths in the last couple of weeks. It's just been nuts. I know we need to spend more time together. It just, you just can't. There's no time. The kids, I just feel a disconnect with my kids. And I don't know what it is, but if I want to spend time, and that's what's important, but there's just no time to spend time. I heard what she said about small groups. Good idea for some, but our life's way too busy for that to happen. I know I should spend time with God, and I try, as I'm walking to the car, I try to whisper a prayer before I slide behind the wheel. I wish there was time for more, but there just isn't. I am telling you, God would say to us, slow down. Look at this verse from John 17, verse 4. Jesus, just hours before the cross, said this, I have completed the work you sent me to do. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If we would have lived in Jesus' day, or if he lived in ours and did what he did on earth that is recorded in the Gospels, he would have irritated the snot out of some of us. Because Jesus didn't hurry. Jesus missed his own friend's death and funeral because he was days late. Jesus sometimes would be in the middle of doing something and he'd tell the disciples, let's pull away, we need a little rest, a little time aside, and he would leave the action and go. He only had 33 years on earth, only 3 years, and yet he said, you know, everything God sent me to do, I've done. Now let me ask you a tough question. Is it possible that the very things God created for you to do are not being done because you're busy doing other things that he didn't create you to do? Is that possible? I mentioned to you earlier that we're not tempted to be bad, we're tempted to be busy. And speed sometimes is deceptive. We just get used to running fast and we think it has no effect. I'm going to show you something here in just a minute. We're going to have a video, not of a race between a junior dragster. No, I told him, find a big boy dragster. The cars you'll see on the screen in just a moment, they tell me a full-fledged NHRA top fuel dragster will in its race get up to 335 miles per hour by the time it crosses the finish line. It can travel 1,000 feet, that's the length of the race, in 3.6 seconds. And you'll see one of those races here in just a moment. The drivers are subjected to up to 8 G's, that's 8 gravities, earth gravities of force. The cars are 300 inches long, twice as long as this one. They can get 0 to 100 in 0.8 seconds. By the time they travel approximately 2 football fields or up to 280 miles per hour. You say, oh, that's cool. They're built for speed. It goes so smooth. I'm going to show you this, and I want to tell you before you watch, don't have a heart attack. The guy walks away. He doesn't get hurt. Check this out.
Oh, hold on. Steve Torrance. Torrance wins the race, but more importantly, we got to make sure he's okay inside of the cockpit.
Well, let's scary look for moment. Some movement. We see some movement from the helmet, and this is good news that Steve is getting out of the car.
Just like those racers, you're going along. When you watched it first, you're like, what happened? I couldn't see. But when you watched the slow-mo, you saw there were signs that things were starting to come apart before they came apart. I'm going to make a statement to you. The way we live life, there's a problem. Speed can become the enemy of your soul. The pace you live life can make it to where what God created in you, that eternal part of you that he wants to grow and develop and strengthen and have the relationship with you, it's struggling. And if you take a slow-mo look at your life, you may see some pieces are about to fly off. I think we know this, don't we? I think we know. Tell me this before we move to the solution. Tell me this. What in your life that is really important gets more easily accomplished when you hurry? How many of you say, you know what? Really, me and my kids get along better when we just spend less time. Our relationship just does better when we don't have any time together. How many of you, try this. How many of you say, you know what? When my wife and I are just zooming around and texting each other and everything else, we go a long time, don't have date nights, don't have any time together. I come home, she's in bed. She gets up, I'm gone. And man, that just takes our marriage relationship just becomes so sweet. I suspect that's not true. How many of you say, the faster I go, man, me and God, I can just sense, I hear his voice. No. Speed can be the enemy of your soul. So what do you do to slow down? And there are two steps. I'm going to confess this to you. I'm going to tell you two steps. They're not my steps. They're God's steps. But two steps, and both of them, you're going to go, whoa. Somebody stood right there last night and said, this is hard. And it is. But I want us to look it square in the eye today. Number one, fight to develop a pattern of regular rest. Regular rest. Fight to develop a pattern of regular rest. We're going to read from the Ten Commandments. That's where God took the people out of Egypt, brought them out to the mountain, took Moses up on the mountain, delivered what we know as the Ten Commandments. God could have said a lot of things. He said 10. This made the list. This is one of the 10. It's one of the top 10. It's number 4. It's the last one to address how we and God relate. And let's read what it says right here. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days a week are set apart for your daily duties and regular work. But the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. Stop there for just a second and say this to you. Of all the commandments God gave, this is basically the longest one. He goes to the most extent and detail. He even says, this is for, not just for you, but if you got servants, it's for them. If you got visitors in your house, it's for them. This is for everybody. Even he's going to show us in a minute, God says, I'm not just telling you to do this. I did this. Because God knew how countercultural it was to speak to people that for hundreds of years had never had a day off. 400 years in a culture that treated every day exactly the same. Goes ahead and says this, in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. Then he rested on the seventh day. That's why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. God says regular rest is important, and we increasingly as a culture have said, maybe so, but not for us. I've talked to people this weekend that interacted with me after. Some of you remember when you drove through towns in this community on Sunday, and you drive all the way through, and you never commented on it, but you know how they would look different than they do today? Everything would be closed. Restaurants were closed. Businesses were closed. Everybody just took a natural day on. Now the hospitals operated. I had some things, and that was then. This is now. I can remember a day when you drove through farming community on a Sunday. There would never be a tractor. There would never be a combine running. You say, well, that was then. This is now. We've learned we don't need that rest. Really. Do you know what people that study it tell us? 1 out of 3 adults, on average, operate in a state of sleep deprivation. you're getting less rest than your body needs. Look at the person on either side of you. If they look pretty awake, it's you. One out of three. And that's sad, but we're adults. We make our choices. Hear this. Hear this. Students, adolescents, teenagers. You want to guess how many are sleep deprived? 7 out of 8. 7 out of 8, they estimate, get at least 1 hour less of sleep a night than they should to function at an optimum level. Families, it's one thing to not rest ourselves. It's another thing to teach our kids that's the way it's supposed to be. Notice this. This was something God demonstrated. Even God rested. And you say, well, it's today's world, Kevin, and to be successful, for your kid to be successful, to get anywhere in business, for organization, you just got to keep going. It's a fast world, and you got to stay. It's a 24/7, 7-day-a-week world. I spent some time at Gateway Church 3 years ago, which is a church that at that time was running 24,000 people. They're now, the way they operate, they're up over 30,000 and beyond, and they do all sorts of incredible ministries, have a university, have other things going on. They're just a global impact church in Dallas. I sat down with some of their leadership. I asked them to teach me things that coming back here I could help our church to do. They talked about supervising staff. Every supervisor meets with the people he supervises for 1 hour every week. I thought, well, that's cool. And they said, let me tell you what we cover in those supervision meetings. So I pulled out my pen. I got ready. All right, here's the first question we ask every employee in this church of 24,000 people. What day off did you take last week, and what did you do with that day? And I dropped the pen. How do you do that? Life's too full. How do you take a day off? There is no time. Hear this. If God meant this, and he did, and if you don't have time for regular rest in your life, or if your kids, you say, my family doesn't. When the kids get raised and stuff, then you can't. No, if your family doesn't have time for regular rest, then there are things you're doing in your life that God never led you to do and doesn't want you doing them. And it's time to make a choice. And I've got to move on because of time itself. It's so odd to be talking about rest and be on balance and say, I don't have time to talk about this. But I want to say one more thing. Last service of the weekend, say this to many of you in this room that are at that stage of life where your kids, and you say, you know what, we'd love to, but we don't have a choice. Please hear me with a heart of a parent. I'm not that far from raising my own kids. They're now in their 20s, but it wasn't that long ago they weren't. I would ask you this question. When did the choice about how your family invests their time get deferred to somebody outside of your home? I would ask this question, parents. When did you defer your right to decide what your kids do, particularly when they're in school, and say, well, they choose and I just follow? There is a decision here, and here's what happened. I'll tell you this quickly. Here's what happened. When he told these people this, they said, oh, that's fine, that doesn't work. And he used to feed them by sprinkling manna out on the ground where they'd go up and pick some up. And he said, now, I want you to do this for 6 days. That's how you get your bread. That's how you get your food. But on the seventh day, I'm not going to put any out there. I'm going to ask you to get double for the sixth day before you get to the seventh day. And you know what they did? Some folks said, oh, I don't have time for that. I'll just grab it on the seventh day. And they went out on the seventh day to grab manna. And guess what? God meant what he said. There was none there. God is saying this to you. If you get regular rest, I will make sure your life works better on 6 days of work and activity than it does if you try to cram it into seven. Another verse, Exodus chapter 31, verse 17. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but he rested on the seventh day and he was refreshed. God is simply saying there, when you rest, it'll change you. It'll make you different. I'm going to share something with you. Been here a long time. I'm one of your pastors. I'm going to tell you, when I get tired and frazzled, I don't like you as much. But if I get the chance to get rested and recharged, you look a whole lot better. You know, my problems get smaller when I'm rested and God gets bigger. You know, it helps remind me that God's more interested in who I am versus what I do. Do you realize that it even helps me emotionally? You say, well, my body's tired, but your emotions are tired. My wife and I get along better when I'm rested and when she is too. It changes you if you get rest. Mark 2:27, Jesus said this, no time to teach on it. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Simple statement. Truthfully, the principle is we made this day of rest for you. It's for your benefit. Doesn't matter the day in our culture because culture's changed. Doesn't matter some of what you do. Don't let folks quibble on should you do this, should you do that. Kevin gave me a phrase that I love called productive rest. For you, rest may look different than it does for somebody else. That's okay. But the principle is if you don't get regular rest, then some things are going to happen inside of you that God does not want to happen. Number two, prioritize spending time in places and with people that refresh you. Hebrews 10:25, let's not give up meeting together like some are in the habit of doing. This is what's so odd. Back when they had to spend so long in cooking, so long in communicating, so long in travel, folks were already saying, oh, we don't have time for church. No, he says, encourage each other and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, here's what's true. God wants you to prioritize time with him. God wants you to prioritize time with God's people that can encourage you, that can help you, that can shape you, that can advise you, that can help you bear your burdens and bear each other's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. God wants all those things to happen in priority, and yet every statistic tells us that people in this day go to church less often on per capita than folks did 10 years ago, folks did 20 years ago, folks did. Why? Because life is so fast and full, you can't get there. And I even heard it said this week, well, I know we're going to do a groups push this fall, and I know that we're having groups now, but of course there are some people that just say, you know what, it's a busy time. I really don't have time for groups. And you need to realize the scripture says that the priority should happen even more importantly. Here's what happens. I'll tell you one story, and we're going to close. Little boy living with his mom on a street just down the block from the church. Back in the day where it was okay to send a little boy to church, so the mom said, hey, you can go to church this morning. Just walk on down the street. You know where the church is. And before he went out the door, she said, here's 2 quarters. 1 quarter, you put in the offering. The other quarter, stop at the store that's right there by the church on the way back. It's got a little machine out front where you put a quarter in, turn the knob, and you get some candy out. You can have some candy after church on your way back home. Little boy goes down this, and he's a typical little boy. He's messing with the quarters and turning over, and he drops one. Ding, 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 off the sidewalk. Rolls, oh no, in the storm grate. Down the sewer. He steps back and looks up and says, God, hate to tell you, but that was your quarter. Please hear me. When you make the choice, life's too full, and what you sacrifice is time with God, time with others. Families that say, you know what, it's too hectic at our house, so I'm not going to bring my kid to youth group. I'm not going to get my kid into small group. I'm not going to do some of the things that are so vital for what's in here. When you make that error, you're violating the very scripture that God says. He says, prioritize it greater, not less. Make an adjustment to get with people and in places that refresh you. Last verse, Matthew 11, 28. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Here's how we're going to close the service. In just a moment, lights are going to come down. You get 3 minutes. CJ's going to sing a song over you. You say, well, boy, that was a mouthful. Then what do I do with those 2 steps? I'm asking you to look God in the eye and say, what do you want me to do to apply this walking out? I'm going to tell you this story, and then CJ is going to sing. And on the screen, you can close your eyes during this time if you choose to, or there's going to be verses on the screen that may speak to you. But I got to tell you this last story. I had somebody last service stop me right over there. This was a mother, kid still at home, husband works, mom was working 2 jobs. They're at that stage of life where you're trying to, you know, money's a little tighter, you're trying to scrape some money together, try to get a new car because the old one's getting worn, try to get a different house and so on. She told me, she said, God spoke to me last week. One of her jobs was working in a place to where they told her, said, in a few years, we're going to make you the boss and this whole place will be yours. She said, God spoke to me last week and I went in and tendered my resignation. I'm stepping away from that because I want to give more time to God and my church and to my kids. I decided to say no. And you know what she told me? She said, when I heard the message today, God spoke to me and said, for me, that's what it meant to slow down. Some of you'd look and say, what kind of a crazy woman was that? You got a chance to become the boss? Think of the money. Think of the influence. Think of the, you know what she said, was saying? I'm thinking about what's right in here. My kids are young. I'm thinking about what's in here. God and I aren't where we should be, maybe. And I need time to give to him.